Don't change for the sake of changing.
We're good? We're on? Live? Okay, it's 5.
Hello?
It's a little after 5:30. It's 5:30. I'd like to call a meeting of the Tewitt Fire District's Water Department Board of Water Commissioners to order. Commissioner Campbell is here, as is Commissioner Hoppenstedt and myself. We also have some members of the public and Superintendent Wiseman. Agenda for tonight starts with public comment. Do we have any public comment? We do have a past water commissioner here that I asked to come to talk to us a little bit about his thoughts and share his thoughts once again on the bylaw revisions. And the bylaw subcommittee, I know, met at the end of September. I'm not sure what they came up with, if anything. But perhaps we could change the order of the agenda so that Vic Mastro gets to speak to us a little bit, and we can kind of kick around the bylaw revision, and where we are with that. And Mark Robinson, Commissioner Robinson, is not here. He's on the bylaw subcommittee. But perhaps if we just did a little history on where we are with the bylaw, that would give him some time to show up. So, first of all, I guess we'll just kind of step back in time a little bit with respect to the bylaw revision and the bylaw, which is Section 5, Article 9, Section 5, wherein it calls for certain monies to be associated with an account, a capital improvement account for the water department. And that capital improvement account was supposed to have been funded through new hookups and installs,
right?
Correct. Maybe upgrades as well?
No, the bylaw just states connection charges for improvements to the water.
New services, yeah. and
that's the only
improvements.
Thing that we can get the assessment fees from.
So that wasn't established and set up, so there's no fund right now. So we took it to the meeting with the Prudential Committee and the district, and as I recall, they said, why don't you guys go back and take a look at that bylaw, see how it could be revised, and make some recommendations. And so that's where we're at right now. Vic, do you want to help us with that at all? Ellen?
It's hard to listen to.
Yeah, we're good. Where I think we left this was in a couple of places, but they wanted the bylaw revised because the source of funds and new hookups is minimal now.
We're estimating 5 per year right now.
And when that bylaw was enacted or put in place was 1970.
Four, I believe.
74,
yep.
But none of the monies from those hookups ever went into that special
Correct.
Fund. And I think Jen did a quick recount of what should have been in that account by now, and it was in excess of $600,000.
Yep.
Anyway, 3 years ago, we did a study of the watershed, the resources on it, how we should manage it. The land, essentially a land management plan was developed that we got a grant from the state. Anyway, we have that land management program in place, and it'll have to be revised, I think, in another 2 years. But there's never been any resources to put into that land management plan. My suggestion is that we develop a source of funds that can be used for that land management that would be dedicated to that purpose and write a bylaw that, one, recommends where those funds come from, and two, specifies how they would be used. Now, according to state law, I may be wrong, but according to state law, we can set up a special fund for anything that the district wants to. But you need an established source of funds, which I believe, if I remember, has to be at least $10,000 a year. And I think I wrote this down before I left, an email to all of you. My suggestion was that we tap the resources that we get from renting the space for the new cell tower for funding that bylaw, or funding that initiative. As it currently is, you know, the minimal money that we get on a new hookups will be probably less than $2,000 a year. And to do anything with those funds in terms of land management would be very difficult. I think our revenue that comes in from the cell tower rental space.
Right now it's $42,000 a year is what the what we are signed for.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we could easily tap that for a quarter of the money, or to be on the safe side, maybe $12,000 a year. You can look at other sources of funds rather than that, but I think that's the easiest one to tap. It's not increasing the water rates of anybody. It's not directly impacting on anybody other than the revenue that comes in to the Prudential Committee. Anyway, a couple of things that in terms of land management we should get done is that was recommended 3 years ago was to take some of the overmature trees out of the north side property, harvest those, use the revenues from those and additional funds to improve the tree cover on the south side of 28. And we didn't initiate that because we didn't really have a source of funds to do that. But as I said, we're going to have to develop a new management plan in, I think, 2 more years. Maybe it's just one. No, it must be 2 more years. And we're going to need a source of funds to do that. My suggestion is that the committee, the council here, develop a plan for spending that money, outlining spending any funds. But I think that bylaw should read where you choose to take those funds from and how you're going to spend them. And I've got my opinion, and you heard where I think the funds ought to come from, and I think how you should outline where they should be spent on that land management program. And unless you can anticipate anything, I'd make it as broad as possible. And I would say for the betterment of the water district's holdings, including the infrastructure on those lands. Anyway, it's fairly simple once you look at the state law to write that proposal. I think it has to go by the Prudential Committee for their approval, and the accounting system should easily be able to handle that from what I've learned about what our accounting system is. So that's really all I have to say. And, you know, if I can be of assistance in writing the proposed bylaw, I'd be glad to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vic. I have a couple thoughts. As far as a funding source, I know that the antenna revenue has been a long standing line of income to the district that the budgets have been planned around and been counted on, and it's going to take a hit because we don't get the full benefit anymore. But there is another stream of income which is very new, which I can honestly say has not had a long standing we haven't gotten used to it for a long time, just because it is so new, is the CVEC revenue. And so far this year it's like $8,000, which could probably, we could probably get $10,000 out of it a year, including whatever we get from new services and service maintenance and stuff like that. And if we get any money from harvesting some old growth trees and stuff like that, it might be a more palatable way to do it and still have something to work with. So that's a thought I had. And as far as the usage of the money, you mentioned infrastructure, which I need a definition of what you think infrastructure is.
Well,
I just didn't want the infrastructure to become also part of the water department system.
No.
It's strictly towards the betterment of the wooded areas that we have. Okay. Mark Vick.
I would like to just point out that Mark Robinson, Commissioner Robinson, just showed up, and he has been, I think, working with the bylaw committee. Have you guys met?
We met very briefly. 2 weeks ago, again, November 28th, and...
Mark, can you just turn the mic on and get it to you? Sorry.
So we're just in the process of talking about bylaw revision, potentially,
right.
Article 9, Section 5.
And so at November 28th, I said that I would bring a summary of what this intended change would be to the bylaw committee. So... I'll need to get a little more up to speed. I can do that through Chris maybe next month.
Okay.
November 28th is when the bylaw committee meets.
November 28th.
5:30.
I have a question about the process of revising the bylaw in particular. Is that something that needs to go to the district, or does that go to the Prudential Committee? I mean, how do you revise or establish a bylaw?
You make a recommendation through the committee. It goes to the district. Is that correct? Right.
So it's got to go to a district meeting.
Yeah. Correct.
So it wouldn't happen until
district,
you know, district meeting in the spring anyway. And that's what I thought. So, you know, I think we have some time to work on this, but I'd like to have something for them to consider at the district meeting. The Prudential Committee, in meeting with them and discussing this bylaw revision with them, I think they're kind of the mindset that why have a separate fund when we could just put a separate line item in our budget for land management and land stewardship. So they're more the big pot.
Right. I know that their opinion right now is that we should put a bylaw out that eliminates the one that we've never developed on the capital improvement.
Yeah.
They want to eliminate that law that says that it just goes in as an application fee and it's an application. They'd like to get rid, like I said, altogether. So,
get rid of it altogether,
right,
just to make the accounting more seamless.
Under the fact that we're not going to be bringing in any more than $3,000 a year right now with that to keep it going. Because if we do five at $600 each time, you're only at $3,000 a year. But if we have a condo unit go in, each one is a different setup, you know, also. So, you know, there is different alternatives that could happen out there, but not many.
And there are a couple of alternative funding sources other than the hookups, one of which Don mentioned and one Vic mentioned, and that's the antenna and the CVEC revenue.
Right, and they want to just keep that as revenue coming in to put towards the offset as revenue coming in from the water department. The CVEC is our metering credits. That varies up and down on how much electricity we use, basically. So the more electricity we use, the more we get back. It's just that, just like they just did with the rest of the, everything else in town.
Yes. One, there's two things that need done if you're going to go ahead with this. One, you have to write a bylaw that you take before the district, get their approval. But the other horse that's in the stream at the same time is you've got to take that bylaw to the state. Well, you got to take that fund, capital improvement fund, to the state and get them to sign off on it. So you have really two things going on, and I don't know how speedy the state is in, you know, dealing with something like that. And I don't think they're very they'll get it done very rapidly. So there, you know, there is some urgency in getting that done. But I the other thing about the bylaw in defense of setting up a separate fund, one, it sets aside funds that you can use to manage that land. And if the district has another emergency or another purpose for their general pot that tie up funds for a year, then you're, I think a land management line item would take second tier or third tier or fourth tier. But the other thing, I think it puts it front and center in front of the district, the water district, that we have this fund, we have this land management plan. What are we going to spend money on this year? You know, we've got these priorities in that land management plan. And I, you know, we've had that plan for 3 years, and we still haven't spent any funds on land management. And I think that's what it, in, it, it's, it sets it before you as an objective that you want to address each year. Anyway, that's my thoughts.
So if a line item is developed out of our budget, they would have to not pass our budget for us not to have it, which is not impossible, but I would think highly unlikely. The other thing I think that if we go the other way and take advantage of the change in the bylaw, if we have a steady stream and say we get $12,000 or $13,000 one year, and only use $8,000 towards land improvement, that money still stays there, and it goes into the next year.
Stays there and goes into the next year, and you get interest on it.
Yeah.
You can put those capital improvement funds in into a bank account and get interest on them every year. So they're not wasted. They're not just kind of hanging out there. They're actually improving the resources the district would have for that purpose.
Okay, so that's our options then.
I believe, forgive me for interrupting that and everything, but Tom, you and I just had this discussion with the treasurer about the 15.5 for reserve fund.
Right.
It almost sounds like the way we're talking here, that's going to have to go into, as a district article, instead of on our budget, and seeing if we could develop, as Vic was saying, the same kind of fund. Because with our budget, what we don't use gets turned in every year. There isn't a reserve fund that we put so much into that can be dipped into four different things for maintenance of it. So it might be something to think about if we could write it up as, you know, putting, say, $10,000 a year in at district meeting, and writing also into that fund that any work that's done on, any money made by that can be turned back in. If you know what I mean? Like if we do decide to harvest the mature trees to open up, to get the other ones to mature, that get sold for lumber or something to that effect, the sale of that, if there's any money made, to be put into the north, south side. This is what was suggested to us from the gentleman in the very beginning. So maybe that can be written into something, into a reserve, instead of like making it a bylaw, just developing a reserve. Because we have the one right now that is because of the USDA loan, we have to reserve, we have to put so much into reserve yearly for future maintenance.
All right. And help me remember that conversation a little bit, because I've been thinking about this a lot. And so there's, when we built the West Street tank,
yep,
we signed a contract that said we would put $15,500 aside,
yep,
to maintain that contract annual, that tank and properties annually, and that money could be spent on any maintenance of the tank any given year, but it had to be committed for that tank.
Correct.
And the properties associated,
right,
with it.
Right. We signed, it was part of the agreement for the loan,
yep,
that was put in there to put $15,500 away in an account to be used for future, for the life of the loan.
For the life of the loan, and that was signed in like 2016.
Yeah.
And to date, we put nothing in there.
It's all up to date now. It's been.
It's now funded after the last couple,
correct,
weeks here.
But
is that a separate account? Is that an article in a bylaw, or is that a line item?
It's going to have to be something that either that's going to be like we do with a yearly thing that goes into a district article, I believe. I don't.
So,
because if somebody doesn't want to do that, I mean, it's a stipulation that has to be done.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be part of our budget then? It would be separate from that?
I believe so, unless there's something that can stipulate in our budget that it's got to go there right away. Or anything that offsets it. Like, say I get the tank cleaned, I can use the funds from cleaning the tank to offset that $15,500. If it cost me, you know, $500, and we only had to put $15 in.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with putting another article in if we have to. I mean, several departments have multiple articles.
Correct.
And things.
And I think that's one that we're just going to have to put in roughly every year for the next 28 years.
Well, and it's a maintenance of water department property, and this is the same thing as what a watershed management,
correct,
maintenance would be.
Correct.
So, and maybe you can see where I'm going here. I'm wondering if that bylaw could be amended to include the tank funds plus the land management funds, provided that the tank funds have their own line item and the land management has its own line item within that part of the budget.
You got to get up there, buddy.
Stabilization accounts are made to order for something like that, where that $15,000 could go into a separate account, get interest on it,
yep,
you'd be following the USDA guidelines, and then when you needed to do maintenance on that tank, the money was there, will be there. So,
yeah, and I think it states for the sole purpose of, though, in the loan. So I don't know if they'd want to share the fund with anything. We might have to open up a different fund, is what I'm saying, to do something like that. And even if you said it has to be $10,000 according to state law to at least be put in it?
Any source of funds, then I'd have to go back and reread on the state.
And
I think it's $10,000.
In my opinion, that's what the Prudential Committee would want, I think, rather than us saying we want to take this money and put it there. They want to see the money pie go in, then slice it up afterwards.
The percentages?
Yes.
They want a percentage of the money they have coming in. Yeah.
They want it all.
I know.
Because they're paying the our bills too. So yeah.
Right. Yeah.
If we do the bylaw thing, it bypasses basically the treasury and the rest of the district completely.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So let me just ask one more question about this $15,500 now that came up. Is that the amount of money that has to be put in every year, or does that have to be maintained every year?
It has to be put in every year.
So over 30 years, that $15,500 can be built up to quite a bit of money.
It can be, yeah. That's to offset if we have to paint it in 20 years. Any of that can be used for any of that stuff. So when we come to district meeting, it's actually a wonderful idea.
It's a very good idea.
Yeah.
You stop and think about it. How much does it cost to paint a tower? I know the old ones was well over $100,000.
It was $950.
Well, that was
the old ones, $1 million to do it. We had over $1 million.
These don't compare to that kind of tower.
Just talked to someone. They said they got a price of like $800,000 because you have to scaffolding the whole thing still, and you have to go up there and have all your safety gear and everything else, and you can't do it from half the stuff. So, no matter what, they're getting you all over now. I guess you can roll these a lot easier than those legs.
Okay.
And so, no one here won $1 billion, right?
No. Unless you bought a ticket in South Carolina when you were golfing down
there. I could have. My brother from a different mother.
So we really need to establish the fund or the account for the tank. And why wouldn't we do one for land management as well? It's the same idea. It's the same concept. It's so that if you need to manage something, you have the funds to do so. And it compounds year after year. If you don't spend it 1 year, there'll be $31,000 in there. Right?
Right.
And the same thing could happen with land management, and then we would be able to be better stewards of our land as well as our tanks and other infrastructure.
We might be able actually even just to open something up and put yearly, it might not even have to be, as you said, establish something like that. It might just be a savings account that we put in, take out. I don't know if, you know, to put, I think right now we have stabilization accounts and what's the other one we put it in every year? We used to, I should say, for upcoming, for future stuff. Like when we were going to build the pump station number 5, they would put away $100,000 a year, so we wouldn't get slammed in 1 year and everything.
I just remember putting money away for fire trucks.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Still do, huh? Not anymore. I don't know.
They don't.
So where do we go from here with this?
Well,
thoughts?
I'm interested in Mark's. Mark has, I think, might have some input here if he gets up to speed with you, because I would like to hear what Mark has to say about this. And I understand you're being quiet now because this is, unless you have something you want to say, I'd be happy to listen.
No, I'm trying to get up to speed on it.
Yeah.
It does occur to me that any organization likes to have a little reserve to not have to ask for outside permission to use a small amount. But I'm not sure. So is it designated by law which revenues can go into this, or do we get to make the recommendation which revenues go into?
Right. Now it's
so if it's $3,000 a year, I don't know if it's worth it, but if it's something more significant, then I think it would be useful. Otherwise, I mean, if it's a few $1,000 a year, it seems to me that that's just a budget request.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike if there's an emergency, like a gate is broken, you need to fix the gate. I'm sure there's other ways to fund that rather than to dip into this little kitty that doesn't have.
No, that comes right out of maintenance or
right.
Something
so
like that. That's minor stuff.
So
yeah.
I'm just not sure what is it that we're being proprietary about.
This was originally established back when we were probably putting in 30 to 40, sometimes more services a year. So when we had to build a new pumping station or something like that, you wouldn't have to ask for so much money. That should have been an account. And they should have been able to give us, $100,000 out of that, and we would only have to ask the public for, another $100,000 to finish the job. I'm just being fictitious, here. But it never got established back when the bylaw was put in. Somebody said you had to go to the state and apply for it. and the treasurer at the time never did that. So there was never anything on the books. It was actually, I believe it was something that was brought up in the audit this year, that it was never done also. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So also in the last couple of years, through the efforts of Vic and Ted, the guy from the state came and did an evaluation of our land and how to best maintain it and maybe even make it better. And he said there was some old growth that could be culled out and there was some newer growth be put in the south side. So that's where the idea of coming up or trying to do some improvement of our land came from. And I don't know how much $10,000 will go towards, you know, I don't know how that works. I don't know how to put the dollars to chore. But how much can you do with $10,000 in improving the south side?
Yeah, 211 acres. Yeah, so did I get you a copy of the forestry management plan?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you have seen that. That was actually done through a grant through the state. A forester by the name of Phil Benjamin did it. Nice guy.
Oh, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's a different discussion about generating income by cutting the forest, and I'd really want to talk about that. But plantings of trees in the watershed, why can't that handle the eligible budget item? Why do we need a special account for it? I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here.
Yeah.
I think there was part of the plan that came up had to do with, correct me, Ted, if I'm really not explaining this correctly, but there was some funding, some work that could be done through the state. And so it's a cooperative thing with this plan we have right here. I don't know.
So there was invasive species management, eradication of invasive species in some areas.
And again, what I'm talking about funding source, why couldn't we just go to the voters and say, in our budget next year, we want $5,000 to remove invasive species from the welfare?
Right. And that's why I mentioned that. I think the Prudential Committee, just in their perspective, and I hate to speak for them, but in the conversations I've had with them, they were like, the district will give you the money to do that.
Right, so
you
I don't need to have
a stabilization
fund. Separate dedicated kitty that we don't need to go to voters to use. We can just direct use it ourselves. I don't get the rationale here.
There was this all started with a discussion when Benjamin had said to us about the south side having a lot of mature trees that if you got them out of the way, the younger trees could grow to make the forest over better, would give them the room to grow and everything else. And you could take, and just that's when he said, take the sale of that. If you did, you know, if any of it had money worth to it, you could take that and turn it over to the other side. And that's when the whole discussion started about, you know, can we just take money from here and turn it into there, or do we have to go turn it into the district and then ask for it the next year? And maybe use the rationale, as you're saying, use the rationale, hey, we just gave you, say, you know, $50,000 here. We want to take that $50,000 and pour it into the other side. It would just be not happening. They were trying to make a way that we wouldn't have to go to district meeting to try to keep the budget down, keep the tax rate down, and just take swap to swap.
And I'll try to give a rationale for funding now. If that money does not go through the district, if it goes into that fund and it gets used for that purpose, it doesn't come out of our budget, then we don't have to charge the ratepayers more money to pay for our budget.
Because we built up the savings account.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I think it's for planting trees and building culverts and trying erosion control, but the thing that we haven't mentioned here is the intrusion on the land, particularly on the south side, and correct some of the cutting and the roads that have been put in back there and replanting that, and then figuring out how you're going to keep that secure from that intrusions. And I, you know, I've seen places back there where people have changed oil.
Yep.
On watershed land, which probably is not a good thing to be doing. Anyway, I don't know that we've ever gone to town meeting and asked for money to, you know, try and mitigate that somehow. Anyway, I think that's all part of managing the land. So planting trees is, yeah, part of it. But I think there's a lot more to managing over 150 acres.
Yeah.
Over 200 acres. Cool. So what I've said before is that the forestry management plan is a subset of the property management plan, which involves a lot of different aspects of these threats, from external threats, from, you know, the four-wheelers and the bonfires and all the other things that go on out there. And so, yeah, I mean, to implement recommendations for overall property management plan would take money. I haven't had enough experience. Have the district voters been unwilling to fund improvements that are recommended by this commission over time?
No, I'd say not.
Right. So I don't know what, I guess if it was an issue and that they kept turning us down, and so then we wanted to have our own little kitty so we didn't have to ask their permission. But I'm not afraid to go to voters with well thought out recommendations that make sense. And, property management recommendations are not something to be implemented on a month by month basis. Usually you come up with a plan and you implement over the course of a year or several years. And, you know, you might say to the voters, we're going to be asking you for $10,000 a year in each of the next 3 years to implement this property security plan. So I understand that all these are good things. I'm just thinking about why do we need a new mechanism when we haven't had a problem in the past of getting the things that we want to do. Now, yeah. You're talking about a contractual thing, which is meaning a dedicated account. That's different than just...
Yeah, that has to happen. Yeah,
so
right.
That's a different,
that's different
fund,
yeah,
than this idea of having a property fund.
The way I look at it is a property fund would be beneficial primarily because it would be cumulative year to year. Some years you might not spend a dime out of it. The next year it's going to grow.
I guess
it's growing, you're growing interest. You're getting some return on interest. Interest levels are not huge, but they help a little.
I guess the other thing I'm looking at is that I don't want to be looking at revenues to build this fund by cashing out the property before. So that's sort of what I think it would lead to. I guess maybe that's my ulterior motive in bringing this forward, is that, you guys are going to do a little fun, but you're going to have to come up with your own new ideas to fund it.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I'd be very careful about that, and that's why I kind of like Don's perspective on the CVEC revenue and Vic's recommendation on antenna revenue. I just don't know how available those funds are and how stable they are. I think the antenna revenue is relatively
stable.
But is it available? Because, you know, we're a district. We need it for other things.
I can't imagine us using less electricity.
Last year we did.
Oh, because it was so
because,
cool.
Yeah, we pumped more water this year. So, you know, we're about $25,000 more or this year than we were last year out of considering our water. We pumped that much more. If you look in the pumpage, there's a thing into the graph. So we're on rate to pump more now right now from summertime to now. The next check that come in, if we go above 10,000 out of that, I'll be surprised now, because we've gone from coming in and having five stations run to one station, you know, and it keeps the tank going up, the two of them going up, no problem at all. We're into our winter mode big time.
Yeah.
I mean, the district is an overall entity that is concerned about fire and water and street rationalized. It seems to me there was a process that seems to work. I didn't see that there was, the fire department was robbing the water department or vice versa. I think that everybody developed their budgets and made the case, and that's what the voters decide. I didn't see any issues with things that we really needed to get done that couldn't get done for lack of funding. So this is just a small sample of experience.
Good comments. Amy, I'd like to give you an opportunity to voice your opinion.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
It seems like you folks think that they lend themselves to us for diagnosis and suggestions and overall expertise and land management. And then they tell us what trees to cut, and then we cut them, and then we can keep the money.
They didn't lend themselves to us. We paid them.
Private consulting course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I did misunderstand.
Yeah.
So we actually could keep the money, and it could fund one of these stabilization accounts.
Sure.
That's the question.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. If we decide to do any cutting at all or anything, that's always up in the air.
It would have to be for the betterment of the watershed. Mm-hmm. It would have to be clear.
It's not just to make money.
Yeah. And so
there's never been a consulting forester that didn't recommend cutting trees.
Right. None that I've ever worked with, anyways. But all right. So where do we go from here? Do we help you go back to the bylaw subcommittee
on
the 28th?
I'm happy to bring forward a recommendation that we want to set up this fund, and we can change the bylaw to do that. Mechanics are doing. I'm happy to be the messenger. What I've expressed tonight here is that I'm not sure I understand fully the rationale.
The rationale.
And so if somebody could write up the rationale that's compelling, that is different than just asking for money through the budget process, I'm happy to bring that forward to the committee and argue for it.
Yeah.
Right. Then I would ask you to, if it's okay with you, Vic, because I've always, you were passionate about this process. And when I was on that committee, they wanted to change it, and I didn't allow them to change it until you had a chance to come up and have your word, because you had an interest in it where it was important to you. If you want to meet with Mark and see if there can be an understanding and see if there can be some sort of movement one way or the other, I'm not married to any of the solutions. I just want to see if we can do something to fund some improvement and management of our lands.
And we can do that in my own. I can sit in and do it at the office or at the water department, something like that. You guys don't have to meet down at Kettle Hole one night or anything like that. Yeah, if you want to set something up when you get a chance, let me know, and I'll get in touch with Vic and try to coordinate it and everything else.
Absolutely.
Would you be available?
Yeah, it would be nice to be done before the next commission.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that knowing the bylaw can be a little bit, but they'll want to use this proposed bylaw from you, and that would include those bylaws, they're not books, they're not chapters, you know, they're not even pages.
Right, it's a paragraph.
Yeah.
So our next meeting would be before the 28th.
Absolutely.
Are you in town?
I'll be going home in November.
Jesus
Christ. Well, I mean, I think, you know, I've heard
you're going to be gone all of November?
But I don't feel comfortable writing it out myself. Even if it's three or four sentences, somebody needs to put some words in their mouth about to present this.
Sure, and that would be something that we would have to do as a commission. At our next meeting, we would have to wordsmith that section of the bylaw as an amendment to it.
Does the fire department have a fund like this?
At one time, they did, an ambulance replacement fund.
So
that was quite extensive.
Specific use. And the specific use here is property management.
Correct.
I guess I'm just concerned that they're going to say, well, you can't have the antenna revenue, you can't have the CVAC revenue.
Right.
You can have your connections, $3,000 a year, and whatever else you can come up with to fund it. And we start cutting trees, maybe we'll mine some sand, you know, I mean.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that.
No. You know how much sand?
I don't think you need to worry about that, though. It's water department watershed land. And the whole point of it is
to protect it.
Any sort of land management plan would be to protect the watershed.
So what I think what we need is a full property management plan, some recommendations, if there are costs associated with it, and then we have more rationale of what we need to set aside money for. And I'm happy, as I said when I first got on here, I would like to work on that.
So the question is, because you're going to be gone in November, is there any time between now and then that you two can sit down together, at least to get your...
Today's the 24th, yeah. Next week is the 29th, 30th, 31st, and it goes right into November 1st and 2nd. So I don't know when you plan on leaving. November 1st, are you going that's the first? You got some time you think next week to get together?
Yeah. That depends on.
You going to be available next week?
Yeah, but I'm not sure to do what.
Okay. If you can check your schedule.
But to do what? What are we meeting about?
Just to look at the rationale or anything like that behind.
I think we need to meet. I think Vic could write up three or four sentences. And the actual wording of what the bylaw change that we're requesting is.
Okay. Maybe so just write up a little something, send it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that.
Well, then let me ask this. If we don't have the time to physically meet, can email be soon enough so there can be a dialogue back and forth with any questions? Through the email, so we just don't at the last second get a paragraph, and then Vic's gone, and we have to do something without having questions about what he's put forward. Does that make sense?
I think the important thing here, in my mind, is that the bylaws written now can only be used, any funds that were in there, if there were $600,000 in there, the only thing it could be used for is capital expenditures, which would be, we need a new tank, or we need a new pump, or we need a new truck. None of it could go to land management, land stewardship, putting up fences, removing soil that's been contaminated. So we need something for that. And if we want to use this bylaw as a vehicle for that, then it needs to be funded with some money other than $3,000 from service connections per year. So either the CVAC money or the antenna revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if we want to wade into that pool. I don't know how the Prudential Committee would look upon that.
Well, I'm sure the Prudential Committee wants to have this bylaw erased.
Erased altogether.
Altogether. Again, I'm not married to any solution here, but I was impressed by some the passion that was presented forward in the past. A lot of time has gone by, and we're at the point where, you know, it's going to be, nothing's going to happen.
In which case, we would want to ask for that bylaw to be removed. Either we remove it and we say we're going to put line items in our budget to manage our land, or we revise it so that we can manage our land. That's what I'd like to see. Some vehicle so that we can be assured that we're going to move, as we move forward, we're going to do some land management, some stewardship of that land when it needs to be done. I mean, we surveyed the northern end of the southern piece, right? Where'd that money come from? It was not earmarked for that.
No, it came out of budget.
Came out of budget.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of thing that we should have been able to take money out of and have that done, and set markers and posted signs. We got people intruding on the land. We've got shingles dumped on the land. We've got a lot of problems out there, and it's not going to get better unless we start taking some actions.
Yeah, I'll think about it a little more too, and see whether we have to put a set amount or if we just set it up with a sum of money. Something like that doesn't have a set amount on it, so that because you don't know exactly how much you're going to put up or something like that.
As a line item or as a bylaw?
I'm starting to think that it ought to be something that we think about contributing to yearly, is putting in as a line item at district meeting. Doesn't always have to be a lot. I think that we're getting a little resistance from Prudential Committee about keeping the one we have. I don't think that they would want to push to set up another one right now. I think it would be I don't know what would be, quote, easier to do. And that's what I might have to try to float out there to see.
There's an old saying that an idea should chase money, and money shouldn't chase an idea. And so just because you have money, then you have, okay, now we're going to spend it on something, as opposed to, we have a property management plan, it's identified recommendations, it costs this much, we need to implement it, we're going to the voters for the money to do that. And that's the way it makes more sense. But rather than having a pool that we can dip into whimsically,
right,
because the money's there. I'd rather make the case.
We have
the most important capital asset we have is the land around wells. It should be a top priority, that and the tanks and the lines, but I'm sure the voters would support securing that property in a better way.
Good. Okay. Any more discussion on that?
I'm disgusted out.
You're all disgusted?
No, I'm disgusted.
You're disgusted.
I'm not
out.
Disgusted.
Okay, good. So at this point, I guess, Vic, if you'd like to provide any justification for us before you head out,
just a quick one.
And then
I'll look back at some of the old emails.
Yeah.
If they have.
Yeah.
And then we'll bring it up at our next board meeting before the 28th. And either ask Mark to bring that to them or say, no, we kind of like to maybe just retract that article and move forward with line item expenditures for land management.
Just again, the commission folks to support this idea, the bylaw change, I'm happy to advocate for it and keep my own personal opinions to myself about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Actually, that's, I understand what you're saying. I've done that a number of times myself.
Yeah, I saw you once.
All right. So that's bylaw committee meeting update and public comment. We want to move to the minutes.
Sure.
Have you guys had a chance to look at the minutes?
Oh, yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Set with the chemical safety upgrades?
Yeah, we're at completion. I had it stayed in there today. Once I get an okay from him, we're going to request that the check be kept in the office until we get the okay from the state. Everything's been accepted.
And I saw that was expenses for Tater and Howard for the RAID study. That's
yeah.
For what they've done.
That's what they've done.
The comparison and the
alternatives. They still have a balance there. And I'll discuss with you with that a little later when we get on to that.
Yep. Vic, I want to thank you for coming, sharing your thoughts.
Where are you going?
And,
he's got it. Okay.
Yeah, I figured. Good. And, I want you to rest assured we're gonna do some work on lands management and make sure that we have a plan in place of some sort.
I'm just curious about this oil changing field out there. Is it just one? It's an individual site, or is it more than one spot, or is it people take?
Two spots that I know of.
Yeah.
They've been allowed, and they're all very good.
Oh, yeah.
Just north of the cemetery there?
Anytime there's a motor vehicle accident on Route 28 and someone presses alternative route, when they're coming down the road, they turn them around and they have sometimes going through Thankful Lane down Santa's Mill Road out to Newtown, Santuit Newtown Road. So I don't know how many people come down the old dirt road there, end up at the gate that they can't open, so they end up going down the power lines, and I'll be driving by and there'll be a car locked on the other side of the gate where they somehow have gotten in there, and there's somebody going, I just kept going because they kept telling me to go.
I can't get out.
Now I can't get out. Yeah, I've got phone calls before. I need you to come open the gate so I can get out. Actually, the fire chief there the other day saying, I just stopped. He said some guy just took off through there. He said, and chief. So, you know, he's in the middle of the day. He says, and he went down the power line. I don't know how he got in there. And we went down and looked, and the Con Electric gate's opened down there. It's been broken. So we put one of our locks on it. And now they've pushed everything away where the new tower's going. They've got the main road going in there and everything else. They haven't put their gate up to lock it off yet, so now our place is wide open. Our gate's just sitting over beside their road, on the other side of their road. We used to lock our well field on the other side.
Yeah.
I told them, I said, take that yellow gate, Ben. Move it beyond you, we'll be all set. I haven't heard back from them since I suggested that. Yeah.
On the north side as well?
Yeah.
North side of 20.
North side of our road.
Yeah.
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 It's amazing. You can't get a kid to shovel a driveway or cut a lawn, but they can sure cut a road in if they want to go down and have a party.
Yeah.
Okay. All good with warrants? You got them all?
We got all the warrants.
You got the signed minutes. Water quality report.
Water quality. Boy, are we doing great.
Good. Nice to hear.
Yeah. We just do our...
just knock on wood?
Yeah. I couldn't find any at the time, so I guess paper, I don't know. We did do our MTBE Monday, so we're awaiting results on that. We're waiting the results on the SOCs that we did at the same time that we did Tromba's house.
Okay.
We did it at the same time to keep everything around about... So we're just waiting now. The coliform all came back clean, so we've had no violations this month.
Okay. Great. Any questions?
No.
Superintendent's report.
All right. Superintendent's report for September. In September of 2017... We pumped 22,282,000. In September of 2018, we pumped 27,655,000 for a difference of 5,373,000 more than last year. So pumpage is up again, as we were noticing as we were going. It seemed to be. Jen put a great little graph in there in your folder that shows the last 10 years of September months and our yearly usage, how it's been going. Comparisons.
Yeah, that is nice. You did a nice job.
Yeah. We did a new water service over on East Lane, a well. Somebody bought a house that had a well in it, and we put down water in. We didn't have any replacement services. That's one of your $1,300, whatever it is there, that we had. $1,800, I think it was, isn't it? There was no replacement. In the month of September, there was no leaks. We did have a small one this last week or the week before last in a sideline, a 5-foot piece of copper going into someone's house. So we did have them out to replace a 5-foot piece of copper, but I'll let you know about that next month, just a little to keep you going, a little anticipation for next month.
So that's something that there's plastic going up to the house and then there's these copper spurs.
Yeah, they used to be.
Go into the house.
Yeah, we used to require for rigidity through the wall, we put in this 5-foot piece of K-cop. We'd adapt, they could use the same, it's the same OD as the plastic, put them together, insert on one side, a 3-pot union, you go through, you put a little sticker that says on it, plastic service, no ground. Everything was used to be great. The problem is that over the years with acidic water, it started eating at the pipes, and now it already had started, and over the years, now you'll get pinholes every once in a while from before we started treating and everything else. So we get probably 2 to 3 a year. Now, we don't charge the homeowner because we require them to put it in, and it's basically our own fault. It was something that was done back many years ago, one of the commissions saying, you know, you can't be charging these guys $800 to go in there and change everything out when you're the one who made them put it in there, you know, so many years ago. They didn't have a choice to go one way or the other.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, how many of those things we have in the ground?
We put them in from about 19... quite a bit. I'd say over 1,000. Not everyone leaks.
Yeah.
I'd say we started putting it in probably 82, something like that. Actually, when I came in 87, they were doing it. So it was before me, Chuck Mitchell, when he was the superintendent, was the one who put that in, who made that happen.
So I'm not going to assume that everyone is going to leak.
No.
I can assume that there will be a...
There will be some that do, though, yeah. Just the same thing with goosenecks, you know. Eventually... There's one that leaks someplace.
Mm-hmm. And what are those?
If we see them when we're doing something else, we do replace them. Like they do make copper goosenecks also.
Yeah.
So if we notice one of those, we change it over to plastic so that you know we don't have a future problem if we're side by side replacing a service or something like that. Anyways.
And I'm sorry. Did you say what those cost about or what that runs when we?
Roughly, they're about 3 hours to fix. So 3 to 4 at I think it's right now $200 an hour or $300 an hour for Porta Lotti. Depends, it goes up and down every year, depending who has the contract.
So
it could cost us $900 to have it done.
Okay.
On my list here, I have the handbook updates. We made some recommendations. Everybody had a peek at it, gave me all their concerns. We put them together in a list to Warren Rutherford, and he basically came back with that's no problem to make those changes. We're still in compliance with the current laws. We have the PDF of it. We made the changes. He said that's fine. We rewrote everything, and I believe you wanted to make sure we had.
I just wanted to have one in case.
Yeah.
Know, we need to do
I don't have. This isn't a done-up version. This is a corrected version.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it redlined of what we changed. And I thought of that when I got here that I have the emails on my desk that I was going to explain to her. You know, we made the line adjustments that we had asked for with your notes, and Don came up with his notes. So everybody's concerns got addressed and were put on there, and there was no problem with fixing it.
So do you need something from us?
Yes, I need a I guess an acceptance of the final version of the handbook. And once we get it, I can send it and we can make it out.
Do you guys want to see that before we
I think you would.
Can you get you get by and grab a copy and take a look at it?
That's my copy.
That's your copy.
You already, I can send the electric version. We can send it to you guys.
Make a PDF of it.
Yeah, and we can send the PDF over to if you want the PDF to look at.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll give that to you.
I do feel comfortable it's going to be okay, but it makes sense that we look at it.
And I don't think we need a motion on this. I think we can just take a look at it individually and say, yeah, it looks great, right?
Yeah.
I have no problems with it.
Yeah.
Have it done as updated and put into. Okay. Once it's been accepted by each one of you.
I think we should have it at the next meeting.
Bring it up at the next meeting?
Yeah, just say, you know, we think this final version is approved by the commission. So.
Okay. So we'll put that on the agenda for next meeting. We'll put the final employee handbook as revised.
Okay.
For discussion.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
We didn't have that many corrections, as I recall.
No, we didn't. That's fine.
The only other thing I have here is a couple things. Tower North, there's really nothing to... They're in, as far as I know, T-Mobile has signed with them right now and in the midst of moving stuff over to get rid of one of those
cows.
Cows. Oh, so right. They haven't, they're starting negotiations with the other two and whoever else. So they have finally, I think they said they had signed with T-Mobile now to come over.
And the Ospreys left.
Yes. Yes, the Ospreys are gone, so they can take them down now and everything else. But I have put a phone call into the gentleman who was the construction company with the gate also over there. They did fix a couple of the other stuff. The gate that's there now, they ran into when they were running the machine over there. They straightened everything out and fixed it. They put a new gate box in, the one that they ripped out going through up top there. They did all the other stuff on me. I'm just waiting now for the gate. Last thing I have here is Mrs. Tromba. Unless something comes up in the meantime afterwards. I actually talked to her today a little bit. The director over at Barnstable County Lab does not have all the results yet from our test. We went over there approximately 2 weeks ago and tested before her house, after her house, and three inside her house. Yeah. One at the meter. And one up top, maybe it was like two in the house, before the meter and after the meter, maybe two different locations up top. But before treatment, or I'll say before her filter. I had Patrick O'Neill over there from Tater and Howard. I had Billy Nelson, the electrician, over there checking all the electrical connections. He said one of the connections was a little loose. He got a full turn on at the street, but... he said it wasn't enough. There was no show of arcing or anything like that. Everything seemed to be ground fine there. So he really didn't find anything. He's supposed to give me a report. Pat's writing up a report for me, what he noticed there, but he wants to wait for the results before he does. I talked to Goldman today. He said he's expecting to get them tomorrow, basically. He said, you know, he's just waiting on them to come back for the VOCs. Excuse me, the SOCs there. At the same time, like I said, we did the ones for the stations to compare to.
Is she satisfied with the effort so far and the lawyer?
Yes.
Everyone's?
Yes. She has put in a request, and so hasn't her lawyer, to us. We put her on the lien list because she refused to pay her bill.
Yep.
And she's asked if we could remove the lien until the... problem has been solved or in some way. I don't know if we can take the lien off.
I don't know if we take the lien off. We don't know what the problem is yet.
Yeah. Right. She's was very upset when I was there about it. She says, I got to notice that you put a lien on my house. I've never had a lien on my house. And she was very upset at me the day we were over there. And everything, but she has asked, or her lawyer has asked, if we could remove it until there is a consensus on what's going on over there, I guess. And she asked also.
You can issue a discharge, or not discharge, but a partial release or something, but you can always slap it back on after the problem's resolved. Unless she's actually in the process of selling her house, the
to them out legally.
That's the question, though. I think, isn't she trying to, at least I gleaned somewhere in our discussion that she wants to get it to her family member or something? Or?
Yeah, she feels as though that she needs it to teach to the son Solomon. With the water problem, she says.
And it's just the SOCs that we pulled? Or
yeah, that's going to give me iron, manganese, kind of metals,
yep.
Anything that would cause discoloration, basically. We did a filtered for
Now, when you were doing that and you were looking upstream, downstream, you bumped into neighbors. Anybody else having any issues?
No. The guy across the street agreed to let us do it a couple weeks before. When we went over there to do it, he wouldn't let anybody in. He didn't want anybody to touch it. But he said to me that he's never had a problem. To tell you the truth, I thought that I didn't even think anybody was home. All the windows were shut. And he drives inside his house and drives out when he goes someplace.
So do we know there'll be a solution in a week or two? I mean,
we should have an answer within a week or two, yes, of at least what levels are in her house, what's...
She's at the end of the line.
No. She's on a transmission. Yeah, she's in the middle of an 8-inch water main.
She's not yet.
She's not in a visible low spot. There is a low spot going down, then coming up. Her house is up on going down to the low spot. The people that are in the low spot have never had a problem. The guy across the street whose tap was basically within feet of hers doesn't have a problem. The people before her said they, when they first moved in, had some dirty water issues, but they went away. That was 30 years ago.
How much does she? Is it just this year that she's looking for removal? I mean, is it?
Yeah.
Did you pay her bill last year?
Yeah, she did end up paying it off last year.
You know,
she was upset, and she stated to the guys, "I'm not paying my bill. You're not giving me acceptable water. I'm not paying it."
Well, I say we let it pan out. I don't know. You guys think.
I think, yeah, it's just, we're so close to coming up with a solution.
Yeah. People have to pay their bills. We don't know that that's our problem.
Right.
Or that there even is a problem.
You've seen this discoloration.
Oh, she gets brought in stuff. Her filter, she has a cartridge filter. I actually, the day we were there, which is 3 weeks ago, that was before I went on vacation. We were in there the Friday before, I believe it was. When I took, as I was there to be the nice guy, I said to her, "Do you have a filter? I'll change out your filter while I'm here," because she has to wait till her grandson comes there. So I turned everything off, went up and did it, and the whole thing fell apart. The air relief valve up top fell out of it. The screw fell off of it. We couldn't get it back on. I had to get a plumber over there and put a new one on. So I had the guy come over and put it in, put it up there. Well, they didn't have one like hers. It was the same thing as hers. It's just that it was a clear outside. And she says that it's already turning black right now. 3 weeks later, it's turning black on her. And I said, well, that means it's doing its job. It's taking the particles out. She says, well, it's your water that's coming in this kit. So she has a filter on the system, and she's getting rusty water after that. And she's getting it in her tub, which tends to make me believe that it's coming through her hot water somehow. I've never had her say to me that I was filling up, you know, something to drink, and it came out dirty. I think it might have something to do with her heating system. It's a tankless unit that she has. She doesn't have a hot water tank. Has to go through the same boiler that she has there, but the house was put in the 80s or 90s. I can remember when the house was built. And we had troubles a long time ago there.
just makes sense that it'd be a grounding problem. It would be some sort of electrolysis, but you had an electrician.
Yeah, had him look at it. Looking at it, found nothing.
You know, we'll get the results back. She's still got a problem, though. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think since until we really know what the problem is, if it's our problem or if it's the heating system, whatever is causing the water, we've submitted a bill and it's not been paid. I mean, if we're so close, let's just find out what the solution is, okay. Or at least what the problem is.
Right.
What can it take a month?
I mean, the lien process is a separate process from the water quality process.
I would just leave the lien on for now. Again, unless she's actively trying to sell her house, it's not a big deal. She psychologically she may not like a lien on her house, but that's. There's an easy answer to that.
There is. She can pay her bill. Right.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a $30 bill. You know, it's she uses quite a bit of water and still tells me that there's no way she can use it that much water. How can I use that much water? And she has a bright green yard, beautiful flowers and everything. I said, it has to be in your sprinkler. Nope, I run that by myself. I run it all by myself and I run it just for a little bit of time. And I'm the only one here. I'm an old woman. I had to turn the whole sprinkler system on. There's not a leak in there.
It's a strange thing.
It is. And I feel as though, you know, I don't understand why everything's happening to her. So it's not a small bill, put it that way, is what I'm saying. I could let you know more of how much it is, but I don't have that on the top of my head. I'd have to look it up.
It's considerable, then I would think that.
To changing things as time goes down the road, but we want to know what's going on first. So you can try to set her at ease. Like, you know, when we see it as a different issue.
Yeah,
paying your bill is different than. I understand how she's bringing them together because she says, you know, your water's not worth paying for. But
right.
We're still sending the water.
Yeah, and
she's using
iron and manganese is not a. MCL. It's a secondary.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's EPA maybe, but not with. If it gets to a certain point that the state's going to make me do something about it, that's why we're talking down the line, we're going to have to put in some kind of removal system. Either green sand, whether it's green sand, whether it's something else, I don't know, but there's going to have to be something looked at and a pilot study done and everything else. Because the well field itself is higher than, you know, we got three stations right there that they are, you know, every year going up a little bit. So, and then when you add the chlorine in on top of it, and it's not helping you. It's bringing it into suspension, out of suspension, into ferric to ferrous, ferrous to ferric.
pH.
One of those. The pH is
the pH. Because you drop.
We're creating a monster by
treatment.
Being forced to do a lot of stuff, yeah.
Well, because in one hit.
I need a chemist pretty soon. You should probably put that in your next job description. Superintendent's description, chemist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So back to her house there. I mean, if we ever get to an impasse, we don't come up with an answer. She's not happy with the water. Is it? I was wondering if a third party could come in and give a report based on what their findings are. that could satisfy her, that we've done everything we can do if we get to that point.
I imagine so, but I don't know what that third would be. I mean, who would I? Would it be a plumber? Would it, you know, with somebody? Would it be another engineering person, firm?
It could be someone from another water department. You know, that comes in and troubleshoots that stuff. We have people from other. I have someone should come from another town to inspect my house if I'm the inspector in this town. And so it's impartial, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. And I don't know, it bothers me that we can't find the problem there.
Yes, same.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder if it has something to do with, like I said, the heat system or something like that.
Okay.
By one of the things that happened was when I went in there with the plumber to replace the filter, he said, he looked over at it and went, that's a so-and-so. I didn't even think there was even any of these left on the Cape. He says, everybody's replaced them all. You don't see them very often. I'm like, well, yeah, she states that a lot of the pots were rot off. He goes, yeah, that's why everybody replaces them.
The filter?
The pipes right. That go out the back that go up into the forced hot water and everything else. And I don't know what the name of it is. You know, I got to go to him and say, give me some kind of report on that. You know, if you got anything on the system.
Say, can
itself.
You Google problems with
yeah.
this type of?
And I think that's what Patrick was doing too, looking okay. with all the stuff taken down.
Yeah.
All
right.
Okay. Anything else?
Now that concludes my report until you guys have something else I can think of.
This?
That should be under the...
Is that under new business?
Is it or do I have to bring that up? Oh, no, I do. You're right. Correct. I'm sorry. Jen did explain that to me.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jen. In front of you all, you have a... there's another thing I can discuss. Okay, sorry.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you guys are lucky. You have a... leak request. When we were reading meters, this property at 91, I think it is. 90 Piney Road. Is a house that has a cottage in the back that gets rented out year-round. They used to rent the front house for weeks at a time in the summer. This year they did not rent it at all, and their usage went up over 100,000 gallons. So we went in there and checked for a leak. The first time we were in there, the guys couldn't find anything. I met her again over there and talked to her, and I noticed that it was turning extremely slow. So we went over to the tenant's property, and they had a toilet that just wasn't holding, and she had it shut off at the bottom of the toilet because the chain fell off, she said. It had to have been off when the guys were there because the meter wasn't turning it at all. And when I turned it on, it filled up, went right down below until it filled up again, and it just went shh, shh,
yep.
shh. The drain wasn't the flapper wasn't holding at all, and it was going down. As soon as it stopped, you could count to two, and it would kick back on and fill back up. So it was constantly running, and... the owner didn't know anything about it because of the tenant. I was there with the plumber at the time because he was shutting down all the shower, the outside faucets and everything else. So he fixed everything while he was there. So she asked if she could get any kind of leak rate. I said, yep, you have to make sure. She came in with the bill afterwards. You can see there what it will cost. We've done this in the past. Or it's something that was kind of an unforeseen for a homeowner.
So what is the remedy she wants? She wants us to do what?
It looks like she's looking for
205,000 gallons
of adjustment. Does that look right? On the last page?
Correct.
So it's roughly half of what the bill is she's looking
right.
for.
Right. The way that we could, you take the highest use ever, you double it. So you go to the 205 or minus the highest use ever, which at the time was, what'd you say, 7 there? Yeah, it would take this bill from $995 down to $451 is what it's going to do. She's still going to be paying more than she ever has. It's just going to give it to her with the combination that we have here. You take their highest. What's that?
Who made this list? You or
That's from Jen. Yeah, the leak rate that we have takes the highest rate in the last so many years, and you double it.
Yep.
And take it away and minus it from the current the 371 there that we have, the 371 mm-hmm. gallons. So it brings it down to 205 gallons that she pays for instead of 371. Basically.
So that you said that this has been done
for years. Yeah, we usually allow one time. Yeah, it's a policy that we've had. We come to, that they can request through you guys to have this done for hardship and or unforeseen problems. Say they have a pit. You know, no one ever checks their pit. And they have a leak on the other side, and you don't know anything about it. Things like this that you wouldn't know, being a homeowner, that it happened. You have to show us that you've had it fixed.
Fix it.
Yeah, that you paid somebody to get over there, or that somebody has come over and fixed it and had it done. Yeah.
Well, in the interest of moving along, I would recommend that you abate or rebate.
We accept the adjustment.
Motion?
Apply the lien rate to. Yeah.
I second the motion.
Any discussion? Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anything else, Superintendent?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Two things.
It's been a while since we've met.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, it has. It's been a little while here. First of all, I have with the I need you guys to sign the last change order for the chemical feed upgrades. It was something that we agreed on. I agreed on with them. You guys have to sign the order. On the bottom left, I believe, at the water department. Yeah, mm-hmm. Put down.
And this is?
There's three copies there. Yeah. We do have the money left in there.
For the contingency fund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is it four? No, one for us. Like four. Two for us, two for them.
Doing four everything tonight. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, we're not going to talk about the rates tonight, are we?
Well,
I think it's a really big topic. I'd really rather devote some good time for it.
Okay.
I've done my dinner.
You haven't had your dinner.
I think I mentioned ordering pizza, didn't I?
Well, is there a time issue with it?
I don't think there is a time issue with it. We have not seen the report yet, but we won't see it until we kind of give them a feel
Correct.
For which rate scenario we prefer. Although, I'm not quite sure why that is. I'm not quite sure why they wouldn't include all the scenarios into their final report and then give it to us, and we would kind of digest the whole thing.
Because they owe us a meeting, public meeting.
Right.
That's the only thing, reason why they wanted to have something available for that, I believe. But
okay.
I can ask them for it.
So they plan to come to a public meeting,
to discuss
a board meeting, but we'll probably make it a public board meeting and
well,
promote it and try to get some residents here other than our stellar crew that's usually here, which is very nice.
Which kind of brings me to, as we're talking about this.
Okay.
The gentleman who did this, Ryan.
Yeah.
Said that they've had to put in quite a bit more time than they anticipated. And I said, what do you mean by quite a lot bit of time? So he sent me this little email here and to summarize what they've done. The job was estimated at $24,000. Currently, they have $34,000 invested into it. And another $6,000 they estimate to complete. They're not asking for all that. But this is what he's estimated out. So I said, well, you know, you got to give me something here that says why you guys have gone over, what's happening, and everything else. And he put a little email together here that said, they spent additional efforts trying to track down information. More than they had planned for in the original scope. But he says it's really difficult to quantify as to exactly why it occurred, and we aren't requesting an amendment associated with that time. However, we did have three additional meetings in Kituat not originally planned for the scope of works. We are hoping to recover the cost associated with the planning and attendance of these meetings, which is $7,500. One meeting, he says here, was with the district treasurer at his office. One meeting was with the treasurer and the Kituat Water Department staff, and one meeting was with the Board of Water Commissioners. And they do recognize that they still have to owe us a meeting. We don't have, we had a $25,000 budget.
Yeah.
They said they could do it for 24. They kind of came to us and almost swore that they could do it for that. I don't want to see anybody get screwed in any way. I know that they did have a little bit of trouble getting some of the
financial stuff.
Yes. They talk about three meetings here, and just sitting around looking, maybe I'm wrong and I'm looking at this wrong, but we had a kickoff meeting, which they said they were going to do.
Yep, I was there.
Yeah, you were there for the kickoff meeting.
I was with the staff.
After that, they were supposed to have a meeting scheduled with us for initial data evaluation to project the goals of the future rate structure. Then there's another one. It says here a meeting will be conducted with the Kituat Waterman staff to review the draft reports in the final report, which I would have thought was the one here that we had. But that might have been only the treasurer afterwards. I don't know. It says after submission of final report, we will attend a public meeting. So that says to me that they're already anticipating four different meetings. And I can only think in my head of three meetings right now.
And the fourth one will be the public
meeting. Well, actually, there was one with the three plus the kickoff meeting. And so there'll be five meetings, because the only extra one, really, I believe, is with the treasurer.
So they're not looking for an amendment other than maybe $7,500.
Right, that's what they're asking for.
Which we don't have.
We don't have. We have $1,000 left in that.
The contract is for $24,000.
The estimate generates some other comparisons with other districts. I don't know what the scope was. He brought us three, and now he's got six. Right? So
there was, we did ask him to do, did get additional information.
But that was...
I just want to make sure we're all talking about the same thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is mentioned in the approach, but when you get to scope of services, it doesn't really mention four different meetings. It mentions two in the scope of services here, too. So I don't know. That might have to be a discussion I have with Patrick and sit down and say, listen, I don't understand the difference between the approach and the scope here being what?
How many people from the consulting team came to those meetings?
First time it was two.
Two, yeah. Except for here, we had one.
Yeah. Ryan came.
Right, and that's doing, when he put together the paperwork to come here and do that also and everything.
Okay, so I got one thought here. The Tate and Howard was fully aware of what the amount of money that was budgeted for this. They gave a price just under that budgeted amount. And to proceed as far as they've gone without any forewarning of money problems, except to the very end right now, I think is...
Well, he did say something to me a month ago that they were starting to get over and everything. And I said, well, let me know. You know, when he said it, it didn't sound like really far over in any way. I was thinking it was in the $1,000 over that he was talking about.
Again, I'm going to say this. He was fully aware of what money we had to work with. And if he's looking at going over to, you know, totally up to the $40,000 mark, that should have been a red flag that we should have been aware of long before we got to that point.
Okay. You don't have this either, the scope of services either. I don't know if you really need want to look at it with what's there.
I make little contracts with towns all the time.
Yeah.
And set price. And it takes me longer than I estimate. I need it.
Right.
So, no lesson.
Yeah. When I worked up for myself as a self-employed contractor, there are times when job got done, and I barely paid the bills for material.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I said I'll bring it to them, but it depends how they feel at the time. I said we only have $25,000 in there. I said I don't know where you think the rest is going to come from.
I am sympathetic to some what I believe to be delays from getting financial information, which held it up.
That throughout the process, it didn't necessarily add many more hours.
Right.
So.
Well, I think the original contract, this report, was supposed to be delivered in July.
Yeah.
This is...
In July, they couldn't get the information.
October. So
they still didn't have all
so
the information.
So it did draw it out. But that should not have added
$16,000.
That's what I said. That's a lot.
So, but are they looking to get out of that next meeting with the public? Because that's something maybe we could do, right?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that's...
We'll leave you of your meeting requirements. We'll bring it to the public. And then we just...
Is this the same firm that does a lot of your other...
A ton of it.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the last meeting for them.
Yeah.
They're not going to walk from all the big contracts with this.
No. No. And like I said, I can talk to the vice president a little more than talk to this guy who's the project manager.
Yeah.
He's a little easier to talk to, and I can be quite blunt with him, with Patrick over things, because Patrick's helped with other stuff in the past. And he does donate a lot of time and stuff.
I know he does.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand, and you know, more than likely, you know, he's the one who's going to have to go in there and make the say it's not going to happen. And if we, I mean, I don't know, maybe I could suggest something like that. Don't worry about the next one coming up. We only have 25 there. If you want to put me for unforeseen charges for $1,000, I'll empty the account out and we can be gone.
This is why staff people have boards. Blame things on it.
So, when it comes time to want more time to review this, I understand that because this is going to be a big project. It's a lot involved with this. The only thing I want to keep in mind is that in my years of experience here, if things don't get dealt with sometime, years go by. Literally years. This has been going on. This was a voted, the money was voted in 2017 or...
Yeah.
No,
this was just done. This is 2017.
17.
Yeah.
So it's we're going on a year now.
This is just a year.
Right. So let's make it the major topic, beginning of the meeting.
For the next meeting.
Put it right at the top.
Yeah.
Before we all get tired.
And hungry. And what we vote on here, whether the structure, how it is.
I'm most interested in the comparisons with others. I think that's really key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to be in the mean somewhere there. I don't want to be with East End because they've got a brand new system.
Yeah, that we can actually lock that out probably.
The only thing is if we go to a different quarterly billing or something like that.
And that's in these various rate proposals.
To bill annually, yeah. There's a couple different ones, so... If something happens like this, we might have to change. We want to be able to vote on something to change by a certain time and be able to have a meeting beforehand explaining it.
Right. So, let's spend some time.
I want it done yesterday, but if we could expedite it next month and say no further, I would say that's the latest we could get things done by.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure if you want to have something in between.
So whatever we come up with is a proposal. We would then have to invite the public to listen to our.
Well, you guys don't need the.
We can set the rates.
You guys set the rates.
We don't need the district approval of the rates.
No, the Water Commission has set the rates.
But I'm not going to set a.
You're not going to put yourself
without
inviting the public to come in and yell at us. So.
That's right.
I mean, we want to explain to them. Hopefully, this will result in your tax coming down because your water is going up. The trade-off, like everything else.
And the hard bullet to bite with that is that as soon as the change in the rates start, there is a year lag in the tax being affected by it.
Yeah.
So they need to understand the whole picture.
I didn't understand.
Yeah. So.
But
so let's make this our primary agenda item for next month's meeting. We'll also want to talk about the bylaw stuff, but we're going to
we'll do
this first, and then move on the bylaw with the knowledge that the bylaw is an issue, and we were asked to address it, and we're still addressing it. But we're going to have a land management fund of some sort.
The land management plan and how we fund it is how we fund it.
Yeah. Whether it's something that's just part of our annual budget or it's something that is part of a sustainability account.
One question I would have, if you go to quarterly billing, do you need more staff to do that? Just pushing buttons?
If we go to quarterly billing, I don't know. We're supposed to be getting a stamp machine. I don't know how that's supposed to. The district office is supposed to get one that we're supposed to be using because there's an issue with postage and
cash.
Everything with our bulk rate. So it shouldn't be. It won't take up much time in the office itself, put it that way.
Okay.
It's more of getting bills stuffed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
As far as the taxpayer receiving, our taxes are quarterly, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. I mean, it's not an unheard of thing.
Right. Superintendent's report's all set.
Just one final thing. I ordered the truck today.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I'm done.
To get it all
unless I can think of anything else in the next 2 seconds.
Cost of service study discussion we just had. We're going to bounce that to the next meeting and focus on that policy advisory meeting update. Moving on
there. Okay. There was a date planned, and I had a last-minute conflict with it. So I did not attend, but I did talk to Fran before and afterwards. There's going to be another, there wasn't really anything decided. There's going to be another meeting after the first of the year. And that's all she really had for me.
Okay. And then the bylaw subcommittee meeting,
we've already heard. They just met and convened. Didn't really discuss anything.
Probably established a chairperson.
Yeah, Lisa's the chair. I think I agreed to be a clerk. Whatever that
means. Okay. All right. Any other new business?
No. Well, maybe. November 21st, is that our next meeting? That's the third. It's Thanksgiving.
It's Thursday.
The 22nd?
So we skip new business and go to next meeting?
Well, the only reason I ask is because every year I have to ask for the day after Thanksgiving off for my employees and myself. It's not in our personnel policy to have it off. It's been, since I've been here, we've put a request in for it, and the commissioners have always said, if you feel as though your crew has done a good enough job, give it to them off for the day after. Just kind of saying, I think they did a good job this year. If you guys would like to just vote on it to give us the day off afterwards, I don't know. You remember this in the past at all, Don?
I do remember it, and I do know when I worked in Sandwich that non-all-essential personnel, it was not counted as a vacation day or a holiday day. They were given the day after Thanksgiving off.
Right. Nobody gets paid to do the checks on that day. That's how it's always worked. And if there's an emergency, people will come in and work during business hours. Like, they don't get paid overtime that day. So it's just a day given off that you don't really have to show up for work, but you have to be available to come in if you have to. Somebody does. If you're on call, you have to come in and basically work during business hours like you're supposed to be there.
So,
and they did a great job this year.
Thank you. I thought you did too.
So two things. Is the 14th okay to meet with everyone? So
if I can't be here, Jen, well, I can't remember what I got going on in November, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Well, we don't have many. You don't want to meet the day before Thanksgiving, do you?
No.
I really don't. So I guess the 14th. Can I move that we meet on the 14th, and then also that the November 23rd, the day after Thanksgiving, be made a special day.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay. For the employees.
So it's an unpaid day, but something.
No,
it's paid.
It's paid. That's the thing.
It's paid?
That's the bonus. That's why we're...
Job well done.
That's why the guys can't, they have to come back to work. They don't get overtime or anything like that.
If they get called in, they don't get holiday pay for
right.
it. They get paid.
They just get the regular, they get paid anyways for it.
They get paid anyways, but you might have to be here. You might
right.
not.
Again, we've been doing this for as long as I remember being here. And it was done... for as long as I worked where I used to work, for all building department, town hall, assessor's office. The only things open were the police and fire that were essential personnel.
I can tell you it's been done for 32 years straight.
That's messed up.
About 31 years straight.
I don't want to be the commissioner's.
Yeah.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right,
So we're going to meet on the 14th.
Yep.
Okay. Employee special day.
Well, I mean, just, I don't know what else to call it.
Right.
Am I going to get in trouble for saying that now?
I don't think you could put it that way, but.
No, I mean, you.
I
move that we adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Turn these things off.
That's true, keeping your records. We advertised, we had to put out an advertisement for our Water Management Act. That is the application.
So
permit application again. Just in case, because you're the chairman of the board, if somebody comes to you and asks to review it, you have a copy besides me.
Okay, because of his passion.
So that should be given to you, they told me.
And this is.
Oh, look at, I had another pen with me the whole time. You could have. Why didn't you point that out?
I just I felt like I got myself in a position where.
This is for, I would throw. Yes. We had everything all set with a 5% buffer. Then they said, as things that we just ready to turn in, like, hey, if you want to reapply, we'll give you a 10% buffer.
I've learned it.
So we said, okay, we could use the 10%, because last one year we went over the 5%. So, yeah. Yeah. Yes, no problem. Give me a call. Give me an email. Send me an email. We'll figure it out.
I'll look at the warrants.
Yep.
Okay. And
that one's the. I believe that the batteries went.